Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I'm so happy that you're here. I appreciate the worship. Appreciate Joel. I appreciate the guys coming all the way from Frontier. Reminds me of another day, long time ago. It's an exciting time for you guys. But for the rest of you, it's an exciting time as well. We live in a very, very interesting time period. That's a nice way of putting it. We're not sure from day to day what's going to happen or transpire, but we don't have to, because God does. God knows it all. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you, and there's many things going on in our lives, and we just pray that you would help us to settle our hearts upon you and you alone. You are our cornerstone, and Father, you are what it's all about. We just pray that you would guide us through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to get to the second question today, but understand, the reason I spent that time last night, and I've already had second thoughts of how I could have done that better, but it is what it is. You have to answer the first question correctly to get a correct answer for this second question. You got to lay the foundation. You got to understand where you came from. And you've got to believe that God is at the core, is at the center of that, and that the Scripture and all that it says about creation is true. And all that is laid down in those first chapters of Genesis. And if you understand that in a correct way, you can then go on to answer this second question. But I believe you have to have the correct answer for the first one before you can answer the second one correctly as well. I don't know if you're interested or not, but if you want to go back and look at some or listen to some of these messages, these classes, or somebody that wanted to be here that couldn't be here or something, we are recording them, and they'll be posted, I don't know, Ken, when he's home or not, but in the next week probably on our church website, where we just post my auditory messages, basically all we do. But it's CBC Muscle Shell, that's CBC for Community Bible Church, muscleshell.wordpress.com. And you can go in and you can find, hopefully we'll get this on in the next week or so. What am I here for? You ever ask yourself that question? Maybe every day when you get up, what am I here for? I'm going back to bed. It's an important question. It really is. I think Satan battles us very strongly on everything. But he battles us very strongly on this particular issue of our lives. What am I here for? And for many people, and I believe many people in the church, they never get settled on the answer to that. And it's kind of a travesty. The way God designed us, the way he designed the church, and we'll talk about that even a little bit more this morning, that it's important for us to do what God has placed us. If God created me, and I believe that he did, and if he created me out of design, his design, and he created me for a purpose. He just didn't flip a coin and say, oh, there you are today, Jim. Welcome to the world. Have at it. And a lot of people approach life, and I'm afraid people in church approach life that way. I'm here. I want to take up space. Children of Israel are really a bad example. They are in many ways. But think about it for a moment. God led them out of bondage, and he led them to the promised land. for at least a brief period of time, they believed and trusted God to some extent. At least, we know that they had to have applied the blood to the doorpost of their homes. Now, I'm going under the assumption here that most of you have had some really good training in your life, under the assumption that most, if not all of you, are believers. And I'm not going back to lay that foundation, although that's my favorite topic, the grace of God. That is my favorite topic. I'm not going to do that. But they at least had enough faith to apply the blood at the Passover, the ultimate thing that freed them from bondage. They had enough faith to apply the blood to the doorpost and to follow Moses out of bondage. Alas, we would just stop there because things kind of went downhill for the nation of Israel, especially for the older generation. As the process of time began, some have said that if the children of Israel would have just went straight to the promised land, what a logistical nightmare it was for them to even move. A couple of million people. Yeah, by the time the lead had started and then camped for the night, the back end was maybe, you know, getting going. I don't know how it went, but I was never in the Army. Some of you Army people have a better idea of logistics, but man. But they followed Moses to this point, but as things became harder, as things kind of, I forgot where I was going. It would have taken them 6 weeks, they say, maybe to get to the promised land. I don't know. If they just went straight there. But they had a lot of things to cover. They had to go to Mount Sinai. They had to get the law. They had a lot of problems there. But then God gave them the design for the tabernacle. They had to build that. And this is where some real craftsmanship came in. Some of you guys are pretty crafty guys. But these were real craftsmen that did not just throw this tabernacle together. Even though it was a portable dwelling place, a portable place that they moved through the wilderness, it was still very specific, designed, and very ornate, very valuable things within it. And so that was going to take up some time. Those things took time, but it took them 40 years. And we understand that part of the reason, the big part of the reason, was that they came to a place in their lives that they no longer trusted God to the same way that they had. They no longer had the faith to move on in their life and to accomplish what God had set before them. What were they there for? And when the spies went into the land, and they came back, 12 of them went in, 10 came back with a report that, forget it, this is never going to work. Only 2 came back, old Sunday school story that you all know. 2 came back and says, we can do it because God is with us, Caleb and Joshua. But the 10 convinced the majority, and the majority, you know what they actually said in Numbers 14? They actually said, let's find a new leader to take us back to Egypt. That's what often happens within the Christian life when you stop going forward. You end up going backwards. They were a poor example. If only they would have trusted God and believed. If only they would have kept going forward. If only they had done what God had wanted them to do, what he had appointed, what he had designed for them to do. But instead, they were willing to go backward, and for that reason, out of that generation of 20 and over, none went into the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. They all died off before God allowed them to finally go in and conquer the land. So I'm speaking to you today as men within the church, that you have a reason and a purpose within this world. And it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a missionary or in full-time Christian service to some extent in some way, or you're a ranch hand, or you own a ranch, or you work for wages, you work for an hourly wage. It does not matter. As long as you're where God has appointed for you, where He wants you to be. You could even be a body man. It doesn't matter. As long as you're where God wants you to be and you're doing what God wants you to do, and so you must answer that question, this question. What am I here for? It's a very important question. Now, I know I talked too long last night, but I'm going to shorten it up hopefully a little bit this morning. I want to answer some of those questions. I want to talk about some of the answers to those questions for you to think about. And there may be more that God brings to your mind, but for a moment, let's think about some of those things. First of all, God has told us through the Apostle Paul that we are to be ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? It's someone who goes on behalf of another to another place, and I'm defining this in my mind, I don't know the correct definition, but goes on behalf of one to another to represent the one that has sent them. We are in this world as ambassadors for Christ. You are the person that many people will see that is a representative of Christ that they may not see anywhere else. Last Sunday we talked about being uniquely joined to the vine, John 15. If you abide in me, Jesus says, and I abide in you, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. We are to be intimately joined together with Christ within our lives. And being uniquely joined together or intimately joined together, we become what people see, and hopefully bearing the fruit, we bear the fruit that sees, that reveals the character of Christ and the nature of Christ. And so we go out to another world. We go out into the world. And we represent Jesus Christ. That's important for us. That's what one of the reasons God moves us here. You know, if God would ask me to vote, I would have said, Lord says, what am I going to do with you? I would have said, after I got saved, take me home. I'm just an alien and a sojourner here. I don't really fit in here anymore. Take me home. My citizenship is in heaven. That's where I belong. God says, no, I can't do that. I need you as an ambassador here because there's others who need to see and understand who I am. You are to be my ambassador. He also told us to be missionaries. Now, we all know what a missionary is, right? Somebody who goes to another place to share the gospel of Christ. Much more to it. My definition varies from that a little bit. Any believer is a missionary. You all live somewhere. You all encounter the unbelieving world, unbelievers. You all encounter them. They are mission fields. This is not new to you, but you are a missionary to them, wherever you are, in whatever you do. I found that some of my greatest spiritual victories have been not in the church, but in other places where I I delve into. You know, I told you last night some of my other occupations besides pastor, but I also do recreation. You'd never, well, maybe you'd guess it. I'm a very poor bowler. My wife and I, it started back with our kids. In fact, it started with Dalen's father-in-law, Donnie Kicker, longtime board member of this church that some of you have loved dearly, but he's gone on. Started bowling with the kids, and then we got into mixed leagues, and we're still bowling today. It's one thing that Joni and I do together in a recreational setting. And we have to drive from Musselshell to Billings to bowling leagues. It's a long trip. No Sunday night church because the pastor bowls. After I get back from the Creation Museum, the next day we take off for Las Vegas, the Bowling Nationals. And I get to bowl now with my son-in-law, which is really fun. And sometimes bowling is fun, and sometimes it's the oxymoron that it isn't fun. But some of my greatest encounters have been with people I've bowled with. Several years ago, and I can't even remember now how long, one of the guys, after state bowling in Billings, started having an unusual cough, and he was a smoker. We were united another way. We were both EMTs, but didn't really know him well as an EMT, but as a bowler I did. We bowled the same team. And he came down with a cancer. And it was just a few short months and he was gone. I haven't thought about it for a while. I get emotional sometimes. But got to spend those final months and days with him. And to reassure him of his salvation and his faith. And it was one of those times that I got to minister because of something else I was doing. And I still do that with some of the teams I bowl against in Billings. There's some fellowship with one of the guys that goes to a church in Billings. He emailed my son-in-law and said, "Hey, can you and Lynn bowl with me at state this year?" You know, and it's just kind of neat. But it doesn't. The thing is, you can minister and you can be a missionary wherever you are and whatever you're doing, as long as it's not illegal or immoral, anyway, so to speak. That's what I've often told people as well, that you can do anything in life and gain experience and gain from it as long as it's not illegal and immoral. And sometimes you can't even then. But it's experience that comes about the wrong way in understanding. But anyway, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That wasn't just for the 12 or the 11 disciples. It wasn't just for the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. It's for you and me. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. To what? Be my witnesses. You start here at home, and then you go a little further, and then you go out into the world. What an opportunity we have in the world in which we live. All the negative things that are out there. What an opportunity we now have to minister the gospel to so many people, so many people groups throughout the world. And we support, as well as being a missionary, we support missionaries that go the distance. That's one of the things that is... Legacies aren't important, but if there is a legacy that I leave behind in my church, is the fact that we support missions. We're behind it 100%. As long as I'm there and have breath to speak, we will be. We're also here to fulfill God's design. If God created you, well, he created Adam and Eve, I know that, but no. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He made you specifically the way he made you. But beyond that, when you came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, when you accepted that Jesus was the provision for your salvation, that he was the perfect one that died in your place, shed his blood for your sin, and you accepted that and believed what Jesus has done, you became a believer. You became born again, and you received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to live inside you. Your body is the dwelling place, the temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 in there. Your body became the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does a lot of things for you. Scriptures talk about those things. Jesus talked about those things before his crucifixion in the Gospel of John. But he also did something very special in the fact that he gave to you, brought with him, a spiritual gift to give to you. Now, Paul talks about this in a couple different ways and in the same locations. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 are prime places that he talks about this. He talks about the church as being, number one, a body. But he also talks about that each member of that body has a spiritual gift, spiritual ability. Let me elaborate on this just a little bit. You've probably all been taught, but let me just remind you that this is why you're here. Number one, to fulfill your role in the body of Christ. And number two, to exercise your spiritual gift within the body of Christ. Okay? First of all, the body. It says that there are many members. I apologize for not taking time to go to these scriptures. I'm giving you references. Please take time to do that. That's important. And I've got too much to say. But the scripture is more important, so why don't you just do that? Let me think about it. No, I'm here now. The body has many members. Each one is different. The ears, the nose, the mouth, the eyes, the hands, the arms, the legs, the feet, the internal organs, everything is different. It's not the same. And it all has a different purpose, but they all come together into one body. And that's true in the spiritual realm within the church. Many members. And we're all just a little bit different. Some of you are a little bit more different than others. I've realized that of myself. But we're all different. But we're all to come together into one body so that we can function together in the unity of the Spirit of God to do what God wants us to do. If your hand, and you're out there solo, what value is a hand without the rest of the body? Think about that. And in each part of the body, what good are you if you're out there by yourself? That you're not coming together with the rest of the body to perform as a body. It's the same reasoning with spiritual gifts. God has given to us varying gifts. And, I teach this maybe different than some, and I'm not going to get into that. But I believe that every believer has a spiritual gift, something that motivates them. And I don't even say that you go past the one. You may, I don't know, but at least one you have. And he gives you an ability, and a spiritual gift is an ability to serve him. God doesn't ask you to do something that he doesn't give you the ability to do. Never. He would never ask you to do that because he is able to equip you. And he gives to each one of us different gifts, and they're not the same. I'm not saying none of them the same, because a lot of us have the same gift. What motivates me is teaching. I get my kicks from teaching. It's up to the Spirit to actually do that. It's up to the Spirit to actually impress that into your hearts in a way that you understand. It leaves me off the hook some of the time, at least. All the time, actually. You know, I am responsible to prepare and to do the best I can, but it's ultimately up to the Spirit. He has given each one of us, He's given us different gifts, so that when we come together into the body, there's different aspects and different strengths and weaknesses that come together to make us complete. The one thing that I often think of is the gift of prophecy, which is in my definition, and often in Scripture it is true, the forthtelling of the truth. A prophet speaks the truth, and oftentimes they speak it very forcefully, and they speak it in such a way that it's only black and white. There's absolutely nothing gray even comes close to it. Truth and lie, right and wrong, nothing in between. In reality, that's probably the way it is, right? But sometimes a prophet steps on toes by doing that. And they say things that offend people. And the children of Israel had prophets that often offended them, because they said, repent and get right with God. A prophet will do that. Well, the gift of mercy comes along and they say, oh, you're hurting. Oh, he hurt your feelings. Oh, let me come along and help you. Let me try and mend your wounds. You know, and oftentimes it's good for a prophet and a mercy to get together, because they offset those differences to some extent. They got to be put together by the Lord, because that's a pretty rocky road sometimes. But the idea that opposites attract often is true, even in the spiritual realm and spiritual gifts. But each one has its purpose. Each one is placed there for a specific reason. Now, if you do not know what your spiritual gift is, you may be exercising it anyway, because you desire to serve the Lord and you're going to do whatever you can. It's kind of nice, though, if you do know, so that you can be alert to that. So that you can be more alert to what the Spirit of God is leading you to do, because this is what God has given you the ability to do, and I can step in this situation. The biggest thing is to just be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. That's the biggest thing. But if somebody is not fulfilling their role within the church, something's missing. I don't know if you've thought about it in that way. Hopefully you have. And it's encouraged you to step in and step up and to be and to do what God wants you to do. That's an important aspect of the church. And it's an important aspect of the question, the answer to the question, what am I here for? I'm here to fulfill my role that God has given to me in this life until He takes me home. I'm kind of at retirement age. I'm signed up and now available for Medicare. Woo-hoo! I have my doubts about it. I've been, I raised my family without any health insurance. Joni and I raised our three kids. We had no health insurance. We went by faith. You know, it's not a bad thing. Faith is good. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God was gracious to us. But now in latter years, we've went with a faith-based ministry, Samaritan's Ministries, where you pay each other's bills is basically what it is. Everybody within the group pays each other's bills. Wonderful thing. Joni had a little incident a year ago that being an EMT, and she thought too that she might be having a heart attack. I called my friends with the ambulance crew, and they came and picked her up and took her to the hospital, and lo and behold, it wasn't. But bottom line is, people paid our bills off completely. I got to figuring, I didn't even think they paid a little bit more. I'm not sure. 100%. It's a great thing. Now I've went on Medicare, and I'm not so sure the government can handle this very well. I have questions about it. But as we get older, these things become more apparent to us. And the idea that maybe we should pull back and not do as much anymore. Now, I've had people in my church who've taught Sunday school in past years, and they said, let somebody else do it now. It's getting kind of hard to say, let somebody younger do it, because our church is getting old. There's a stat out there that says that the average age of the congregation is within 10 years one way or another of the pastor. Shouldn't have to be, but we're getting to be an aged church. The young people aren't there in a community. There is no business within Muscle Shell. There's no retail. There's no jobs except oil field and ranch work, and the oil field's pretty depressed. That's why I have several jobs. You do what you do to make a living. I haven't ever considered retiring. Now, as I've gotten older, I just had a friend, he's going to be my ditch rider this year. A friend retired from Mid Rivers Telephone that was with him for 35 years. He's like 7 years younger than I am. He's retired with a good pension. And I think, wow, that would be nice. But it's not what God has called me to do. God has called me to keep on keeping on until He calls me home, or I am unable to do it anymore. And I believe that that's true of all of us. All of that for that. Another reason we're here, and I'm going to have you open your Bibles. 1 Peter. One of the places that brings this out, chapter 4. Verse 11. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterance of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be what? Glorified. So that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever. Well, the great creed says the chief end of man is to glorify God. Is your life glorifying God? Or are you just taking up space in the wilderness? And we do live in the wilderness. Are you just taking up space till you die? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there's no question that you should be involved. That's a challenge to you that I want you to take seriously. I want to read to you in closing a little tidbit written by a young African pastor. God does amazing things. Miracles are God's precise timing. Several things that I'm using just came by accident putting my office back together is part of the accident. That's where this, I don't even remember where I found this, but this carpet, Dalen from my church is on the board, and he told me the story about where this carpet came from. It's God's precise timing. It may be everyday things, but when it comes together, that's a whole nother story. My commitment as a Christian, and try to follow along as best you can. I know it's hard. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with the low living, sight walking, and small planning. Smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing. He will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. Written by a young African pastor and tacked on the wall of his house. May that be a challenge. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for these moments to share and to be together and for Your word. Father, we've talked about a lot of the concepts and a lot of the principles involved here and not necessarily have gone to the scripture, but a lot of it has been quoted and a lot of it we know and we understand is truth that comes from You. Just help us in our lives. It's so easy to become complacent. It's so easy to just drift along in the maze of things and not really accomplish anything. It's not up to us to accomplish. You're the one that does that, but it's up to us to be willing to follow You wherever You take us, wherever You go, wherever You want us to go, whatever You want us to do. Help us as we think about this, and help us to be very serious about talking to You about this, to know what we are and what we're doing within this life. Oftentimes we are doing. It's already there. But sometimes there's not even the realization, but there's often more that You have in store for us. So Father, through Your Spirit, lead us. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.